shave on Nick Ewing. Tomorrow is an all-day.
Love Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. You think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like Mohicans and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folks' face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They torn around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs. Cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting booed? Shit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot. Me and the ice can't get close. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Real revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame. But we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn early? So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the fire.
man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till I did heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let us sing, let our rejoices rise high. Loud as the orchestra.
Coast, and you are a Yankee fan, let me greet you by saying Go, 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 White Sox. Yeah, boy. Yeah, boy. I was watching Netflix the other day, and they had a interesting tribute to O.J. Simpson on there. First, they had ESPN 30 for 30, which did a nice little documentary. If you have Netflix, check it out. June 17, 1994. Where was you at during that day? Me, I was in Pontiac at one of my homeboys, Cleveland Joyner, wedding. His wife passed away this year. Matter of fact, ain't that about something? Anyway, I was at his wedding, and I remember me and my friend, we was in a hotel room. No, matter of fact, we was in a car listening to it on the radio. We bust in during the ceremony saying OJ's on the run. They say he's about to kill himself. And we listened to the radio driving our way back to the hotel. But anyway, 1994 changed the lives and everything. The way we see TV, court TV, judges, the way we view our celebrities, always on TV, always on trial, always on court, reality TV, all of that is viewed from this one trial. They also have a nice little documentary that O.J. has done called, called O.J. Simpson Monster Myth. Now, I decided to tackle the O.J. Simpson trial today because I felt that that was the turning point in America. You know, it's no secret that I am Republican, but, you know, I don't want it to get twisted. Yes, I do agree Barack Obama is a polarizing president for one reason. He's black. Just like the O.J. Simpson trial was polarizing for America. That's funny watching the celebration. You saw a lot of blacks cheering. Excuse me. But in my circle, there's a lot of blacks swearing up and down, arguing with me that O.J. did it. I mean, I'm arguing with countless and countless of my friends. I remember I told everybody, no, it's not O.J., and they were saying, oh, the overwhelming evidence. And I'm like, no, the blood type don't match. Could be his son. Could be his son. Something I said. Even they said the hair fibers on the hat was Negroid. But anyway, we're gonna be touching that. The O.J. trial. Where was you at? How did it affect everything? How did the O.J. trial affect commerce? And then we're gonna be trying to solve the O.J. case. We're going to be back after this musical break in 3 minutes, and then we're going to touch into that. We're going to kick it off with the Bronco Chase all the way down to the verdict, everybody. Let's start off a little Otis Ebony.
It makes it easier to bear. You won't regret it.
I invented sweat. Popping bottles, putting supermodels in a cab. Proof. I guess I got my swagger back. Truth. New watch alert. Few blows. Or the big face rolly, I got two of those. Arm out the window through the city, I maneuver slow. Cut back, snap back, see my cut through the hole.
Damn, easy and hoes, where the hell you been? Niggas talking real reckless, tuck man. I adopted these niggas, still a drumming them. Now I'm about to make them tuck their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, but I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bins. Last week I was in my other bins. All your diamonds up, cause we in and did another game.
Photo shoot fresh. Looking like wealth, I'm about to call a paparazzi on myself. Live from the Mercer. Run up on Yeezy the wrong way, I might murk it. Me in the G450, I might surface. Political refugee asylum can be purchased. Everything for sale, got 5 passports, I'm never going to jail.
I made Jesus walk, I'm never going to hell. Couture level flow is never going on sale. Luxury rap, the Hermes of verses. Sophisticated ignorance, write my curses and curses. I get it custom, you a customer. You ain't custom to going through customs, you ain't been nowhere, huh? And all the ladies in the house, got them showing out. I'm done, I hit you up, man, yeah. Nah.
Welcome to Havana, smoking Cubanos with Castro and Cabana. Viva Mexico, Cubano, Dominicano, all the plugs that I know. Driving Benzes, with no benefits, not bad, huh? Put some immigrants through your fences, we digging tunnels. Can't you see we getting money up under you?
Can't you see the private jets flying over you? Maybach bumper stickery, what we're overdue? Day is chilling, yay is chilling. What more can I say? We killing them. Hold up, before we end this campaign. As you can see, we done bodied the damn lanes. Lord, please let them accept the things they can't change. And pray that all of their pain be champagne.
You're tuning in to Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. 347-838-9825. That's 347-838-9825. We're going to be on till about 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Eastern. And that makes that, what, Ebony? 9 o'clock Central, West Coast time? It all depends how you want to do with it. But anyway, like I said earlier, we're going to be touching off on the trial of OJ to see how polarizing he was of a figure and how his trial really changed the way black athletes are looked upon themselves when they get in trouble with their fiancés or their wives. The way white women look at men, the way white women look at black women, the way men look at the police system. You know, I see we got my girl Dana checking in all early. Yo, Dana from D.C., what's going on with you, Dana, from D.C.Z.? How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right, all right. Well, check this out. Where was you at 1994 when the O.J. trial jumped off? Not trial, when the O.J. Soski Bronco Chase jumped off. Where was you at?
I was in Guam, and I was sitting in my house, and I was watching the TV, and the news was on this white Bronco, and it was driving down the street, and it was strange to me because I remember it like it was yesterday. It was strange to me because they kept on referring to this chase. But the car wasn't speeding. You know what I'm saying? It was like they were just driving down the road. So I didn't really understand why they were referring to this high-speed chase when it looked like they were just following somebody.
Right. Like I said, there's a good documentary on Netflix. I advise you to check it out. It's called 1994, June 17th. Where were you? What I'm about to do is tap into a little footage of Larry King he did with the two officers that were talking to him during that chase. Let me go in there and patch into that now. Jimmy's Underground Radio, 347-838-9825.
And the thought struck me, you know, we had his cell phone number. Why not do the simplest thing in the world and give him a phone call? And so I dialed it, and I didn't get through right away, and I dialed a second and then a third time. And to my amazement, he picked up. And we had a brief conversation, and then I lost him. And in the interim, someone ran in and hooked up a tape recorder to the phone, and I had something like 5 or 6 subsequent phone conversations with him.
This tape speaks for itself. Watch.
Yeah. Just let me get to my house.
Okay,
please.
We're going
to
do this.
I swear to you, I'll give you I'll give you my whole body.
Okay.
I just need to get to my house.
Okay.
We're
going
to
do that. Just throw the gun out the window.
I can't do that.
We're not going to bother you. We're going to let you go up there. Just throw it out the window, please. You're scaring everybody. OJ, you there?
This is for me. This is not to keep you guys away from me. This
I know
is for
that.
Me.
Nobody's going to hurt
this
you.
This is for me.
Okay, it's for you. I know that, but do it
this
for you.
This is for me, for me.
I know that. I know that, but do it for the kids, too, will you?
Yeah.
Think of your kids.
Yeah.
Please, just toss it out. You're scaring everybody, man.
I'm not going to hurt anybody.
I know you're
that.
Not going to hurt anybody.
I
but
for me.
I know you're
gonna,
not, man.
I'm just going to go with me.
Please, you're scaring everybody, though. You're scared.
Just tell them I'm all sorry. You can tell them later on today and tomorrow that I was sorry. And that I'm sorry that I did this to the police department.
Listen, I think you should tell them yourself.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to have to tell your kids that. Your kids need you.
I've already said goodbye to my kids.
Listen, no, we're not going to say goodbye to your kids.
Oh,
you're going to see them again. You want to see them again. Please, you're scaring us. You're scaring them. Please, man.
Hey, you've been a good guy, too, man.
Thanks,
I know you're doing your job. You went
I appreciate
with me right
that.
From the beginning, just saying you're doing your job.
Listen.
I know you do a good job.
Okay, thank you. But there's a lot of people that love you. Don't throw it all away. Don't throw it all away.
I can't take this.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Okay.
You got your whole family out here.
I can't.
They love you, man. Don't throw this away.
Uh-huh.
Don't do this. They love you.
Uh-huh.
Don't do it, OJ. It's going to work itself out. It's going to work. It's going to work. You're listening to me. I know you. And you're thinking about your kids right now, aren't you? Aren't you?
Oh.
They're thinking about you. They're thinking about you. So is your mother. Your mother loves you. Everybody loves you. Don't do this. I know you're thinking.
Oh.
Man. Just throw it out the window. And nobody's going to get hurt.
I'm the only one that deserves.
No, you don't deserve
I'm gonna
that.
Get hurt.
You do not deserve to get hurt. You do not deserve to get hurt. Don't do this.
All I did was love Nicole. All I did was love her.
I understand.
I love everybody. I try to show everybody my whole life that I love everybody.
We know that. And everybody loves you. Especially your family, your mother, your kids. All of your friends, AC. Everybody does. Don't do this. Just put it down or throw it out the window. And this will all go away. It's going to be a lot better tomorrow, believe me. Please. We'll let you go up to the house, but we need you to throw that out the window.
Yeah.
We'll let you go up there, but we need you to throw the gun out the window. Please.
And see if they can come in when I get home.
What? If you throw it out the window, they're not going to have to do that. Okay. Hello. OJ, you still there? Yeah, Jay, it's Tom again. Why you hanging up, huh? Hey, it's going to be better tomorrow. Get rid of the gun. Toss it, please. Too many people love you, man. Don't give it all up. Don't hurt everybody. You're going to hurt everybody.
I'm just going to leave. I'm just
no,
gonna
don't.
With Nicole. That's all I'm going to do. That's all
hey,
I'm
listen,
trying to do.
Think about everybody
I
else, all right?
I couldn't do it on a freeway. I couldn't do it in a field. I want to do it at a grave. I want to do it at my house.
You're not going to do anything. Too many people love you. Your kids, your mother, your friends, AC, everybody. You got the whole world. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away, man. Come on. OJ? Help. Lost him again. OJ, it's Tom again. How you doing?
Nothing. You just tell them at my house. I know they're all over the place with guns.
They're not going to do
it. Let them know I'm not coming there to hurt any of them.
Okay, they know that.
Okay.
They don't want to hurt you. You going to go to the house?
That's what I told you. We weren't. You know, you just let them all know. You let the police know. You let them all know. I wasn't running.
I know you weren't running. I know you weren't running.
I was trying to go to Nicole's grave.
I know you weren't running.
And now
I know you weren't, man, but you got everybody scared.
Yeah.
You got us all scared with a gun, man.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I made the police look bad by not showing up.
Hey, we don't care. That's not a problem. You know what the important thing is here? Is that you don't hurt everybody and break their hearts.
I'm not going to hurt anybody.
You're going to break somebody's heart is what you're going to do.
I know if I hurt somebody, I'm not going to hurt
anybody. And I'm talking your mother and I'm talking your kids. Don't do this. Listen, you've been a man all your life. No, don't stop now, OJ. Don't give in now. Juice, don't give in now. You've been a man all your life. You're admired. Don't give it up. You're listening to me and you're thinking. I know you're thinking. You're tired too, aren't you?
I'm so tired.
I know.
I just want to be with Nicole.
You don't need to be with Nicole. You need to be with your family and with your kids. You don't need to be with Nicole. All right? That doesn't need to be done now. You need your kids, and your kids need you. Don't do this to them. You're hurting everybody, man. You're being selfish with your kids, man. Don't do it. When did you see the kids last, Hughes?
Hey, see, pull me in my driveway.
I know. I see you. Please, toss the gun. Hughes, just toss it. Come on, man. Just toss it, please. All right? Hughes, just toss the gun. All right. Who is that out there? All right, just toss it, Hughes. He's just trying to help, man. He's just trying to help. Juice, come on, just toss it. It's okay. Hey. No. Hey, man, don't. No, don't. Juice. Juice, come on. Juice. You there? Hey, pick it up, Juice. Juice. Juice, I'm still here. Juice, don't do it. Juice. Hey. Juice, pick it up. Pick it up. OJ, pick it up. Listen to him. OJ, listen to him. OJ, listen to him. Listen to him. Please, OJ, come on. Toss it.
Tom, your purpose there was to stop a suicide, right?
Yeah, Larry, what's important to remember here, at the time we hooked up with him, this ceased to be a murder investigation. Now we had to consider that this was a man who had obviously been accused of a very brutal double murder. He had a gun. We had to assume it was real, and we had to assume that it was loaded. It was not just Simpson. It was Cowlings. It was the police in pursuit, and it was all of these people along the freeways whose lives were in danger, and we had to handle it accordingly.
Phil Van Adder, from listening to that, does that sound like to you a man who did it?
Well, I think the responses were very, very strange for an innocent man, especially...
...3473-9825. I'll be back in 1 minute with more on the Simpson follow-up.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And so it's hard for me to show it. I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I love you more each day. But the words got in my way.
Can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Bop, bop, bop it out of bebop. Bop, bop, yeah, bass man. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Sound good. Yeah, saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3. Jimmy want a piece of your chocolate cake. But more than all that, Jimmy wants a race. So Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got, Jimmy got, Jimmy got soul. Sooner or later, the time comes around for a man to be a man, take back his sound. I gotta do something to shake things up. I like Johnny Mathis, but I can't do that stuff. Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got S-O-U-L soul. What I can do, baby, is show my soul. Jimmy got soul, Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got, Jimmy got, Jimmy got soul.
347-838-9825. Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio. You're now rocking with Jimmy Lee Tillman, the second Black Republican and member of the Martin Luther King Republican. And I got from D.C., none other than D.C. Dana. Well, the upcoming show in the future called Downtown on Dana Street, starring Dana Robertson. But anyway, listen, Dana, what do you think about the little Bronco chase from the beginning of the trial? Do you remember the long, drawn-out roll where the cops are talking to him, trying to calm him down, and then you got millions, and I mean millions of the Juice fan cheering him on, almost like either a funeral passing by or go get them, send them off parade. What do you think about the trial? I mean, what do you think about the slow speed chase and what you heard on the 911 tapes or the talkback tapes?
I'm going to tell you, Jimmy, I have never heard that before. And that, to me, it just saddened me because it made me realize how bad and harsh hatred can be. I'm going to tell you, that is such a sad interview. And here's why. When you're listening to those tapes, I don't hear a man that's creating a dangerous environment for the police. I don't hear what was reported by the police as dangerous to Al, dangerous to civilians, dangerous to policemen. Sounded like O.J. was suicidal. And what did he say? And his statement would have made him understandably suicidal, right? All I wanted to do was just love her. Now I want to be with her. So it sounds to me like a distraught man that found out that somebody he really cared about had died. You see it in the elderly when their spouses die. I just want to die too. That's why a lot of them die from depression. You see it in parents when something happens to their kid. Why, Lord, why didn't you take me first? But O.J., when he's sitting there, this policeman trying to talk him out of what is obviously him thinking about killing himself. After
right.
The conversation, it was presented as strange.
It's very strange and dangerous. Like, I'm trying to just set the tone. I want to set it up with the Bronco chase. By the way, today is the anniversary of the forensic evidence linking O.J. Simpson to the trial today. For those who are O.J. junkies like myself who follow the trial when Barry Sheck came out on the trial around this time, but today is the anniversary of them linking the DNA evidence to O.J. But, you know, it all came down to what? One evidence they thought they had to O.J. What was smoking gun? Smoking gun was what they had was a glove. They said all the evidence, we know we got you because of the glove. But here comes the world.
But Jimmy,
yes.
You got to think that Cato said that he was sitting in his house, and when the glove hit the side of the building, it caused his picture to move. Oh, see, this is why I have always believed that O.J. didn't do it, right? I have yet to see a glove, unless it's made out of concrete, cement, or it's being thrown by a tornado, that would hit the outside of a building and cause a picture on the inside to move.
I agree with you, but you know, that was so-called smoking gun. And when it came down to it, an eloquent spokesman, another black Republican, Johnny Cochran, came up and shot it down. Well, people fail to realize, if you were to write a black history book of the contemporary black heroes, not your Ed Brooks, not your MLKs, not your Martin Delaney's or your Frederick Douglass, but just the new contemporary black heroes, he should be in it, because he was not a basketball player. He was not a singer. He was not an athlete. He was an intelligent black man who knew the law. And matter of fact, let me give you a soundbite of one of the late, great Reverend Johnny Cochran ceremonies that he given to help O.J. get off.
You are empowered to do justice. You are empowered to ensure that this great system of ours works. Listen for a moment, will you, please? One of my favorite people in history is the great Frederick Douglass. He said shortly after the slaves were freed, quote, "In a composite nation like ours, as before the law, there should be no rich, no poor, no high, no low, no white, no black, but common country, common citizenship, equal rights, and a common destiny." This marvelous statement was made more than 100 years ago. It's an ideal worth striving for, and one that we still strive for. We haven't reached this goal yet, but certainly in this great country of ours, we're trying. From the very first orders issued by the LAPD so-called brass, they were more concerned with their own images, the publicity that might be generated from this case, than they were in doing professional police work. That's why this case has become such a hallmark. And that's why Mr. Simpson is the one on trial. But your verdict in this case will go far beyond the walls of Department 103, because your verdict talks about justice in America, and it talks about the police and whether they're above the law, and it looks at the police perhaps as though they haven't been looked at very recently. Remember, I told you, this is not for the naive, the faint of heart, or the timid. So it seems to us that the evidence shows that professional police work took a back seat right at the beginning. Untrained officers trampled. Remember, I used the words in opening statement. They traipsed through the witness, through the evidence. And it was interesting because the prosecution didn't agree with that at the beginning, but later on in this trial, we heard Mr. Goldberg, and talking to witnesses, use my words, traipsing through the witnessing. That scene there at Bundy. He used our words because they understood. We knew what we were talking about. We were able to demonstrate it through the videos. They delayed unconscionably routine procedures and notified the coroners. They didn't call the criminals out on time. And yes, they allowed this investigation to be infected by a dishonest and corrupt detective. They did that in this case. And they may try to back away from it all they want, but that's very important, as you're going to see, to this case and the resolution of my client's innocence. Because of their bumbling, they ignored the obvious clues. They didn't pick up paper at the scene with prints on it. Because of their vanity, they very soon pretended to solve this crime, and we think implicated an innocent man. And they never, ever looked for anyone else. We think they'd done their job, as we have done, Mr. Simpson would have been eliminated early on. And so this case is not, let me say at the outset, is not about attacking the Los Angeles Police Department. We're not anti-police in making these statements. You're not anti-police. We all need the police. I just said, we have so much crime in this country, we need the police. But what we need, and what we must demand, all of us should have are honest, effective, non-biased police officers. Who could demand less? Can any of you say that's not what we should have? Like the defining moment in this trial, the day Mr. Darden asked Mr. Simpson to try on those gloves and the gloves didn't fit. Remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. And we're going to be talking about that throughout. So to summarize, if you take the witnesses who we presented, who stand unimpeached, and if you are left with dogs starting to bark at 10:35 or 10:40, 10:40, let's say, and we know from the most qualified individuals, Henry Lee and Michael Batten, this was a struggle that took from 5 to 15 minutes. It's already 10:55. And remember, the thumps were 10:40 or 10:45. O.J. Simpson could not be guilty. He is then entitled to an acquittal. And we have talked to you, and you've heard from the court, and my colleagues talked to you about this whole idea of circumstantial evidence. I want to talk a little more about that now. We've shown you the incredible evidence that it would be impossible. O.J. could not, would not, did not commit these crimes. And where you have a circumstantial evidence case, this becomes very, very important. The prosecution then must disprove our timeline beyond a reasonable doubt. And if they don't, you must acquit.
347-838-9825, Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio. So what do you think about one of the world's greatest orators, Johnny Cochran, giving his speech to save his client, Orenthal James Simpson? You're not blue-rooming yourself, are you, Dana?
Nah, yeah, that's right. I think you blue-roomed. I told you I get at least one obligatory blue-room. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting that back in 1994, right, he was asking for ethical police, and he was asking that they do that they follow investigatory processes and procedures that are already in place. It's not as if they need to go make them up, reinvent the wheel, learn how to do it. These are trained policemen. He's asking that they do the right thing and make the right decision and exhibit the appropriate behaviors and follow the proper procedures, right?
True.
Here we are, 2012, and we're still asking for the same thing. What is this world coming to? When they decided that he was guilty, it was obvious that regardless of what was said, no matter what was done, no matter what could be proven or what couldn't be proven, he was guilty. It was as simple as that. He had to pay for the crime that the police department decided he committed. And now he's in jail. He's still paying.
That is so true. But that's what I was trying to say. We can trace polarization of America all the way back to this point on. Not the Reginald Denny, Rodney King, not the Reginald Denny. These, we can't trace hate crime back to those times. When America got split, it was in 94. Obama's supposed to be the president that heals it, but it's not healed, it's split. Earlier I said, yo, Dana, earlier in some of my previous shows, when you had your little Dana and your Dana Hole with your little studio audience back there, I was like, and they was like, because he's black, I mean, I have to vote for him. People don't realize the assumption of how we are was poor. There's no convincing otherwise. because they're always going to look at us, oh, yeah, when OJ got turned in, y'all flipped on us then, and y'all flipped on us now. Matter of fact, let me give you a little sample of how it was back in 95, let's say, when they had the civil case, whatever, and everybody was still talking about OJ Simpson. Here's a black female and a white female discussing, let's say, phone records proving OJ innocent during a timeline, but we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the back-to-back banter that these women had. Show you how things were just black and white.
On both Ron Bowman and Nicole Brown Simpson. According to this report, Lewis Brown told the coroner's investigator, Claudine Ratcliffe, that his daughter, Nicole Brown Simpson, was last known to be alive at 11 o'clock that evening talking to her mother.
There are all records that show that Nicole Brown Simpson called her mom at or about 11 p.m. on the night she was murdered. If indeed she called and was murdered sometime after 11 p.m., Mr. Simpson points out in his lawsuit that that is an ironclad alibi. Why? Because he was on the airplane heading for Chicago.
It's only 4 hours of the Browns' phone records, and why is everybody behaving like they have something to hide? Right. Everybody that believes in O.J.'s guilt is afraid to see the phone records.
And what I don't understand is why everybody is afraid to show the official copy of the telephone records. I mean, the Browns could have given these records some time ago.
This family has been through enough in having their son-in-law murder their daughter. They can keep those phone records as long as they want.
You know, we're not doing this just for the sake of it. We're concerned about justice in this country.
I'm not going to be a dancing monkey. No, you don't get it, Mary. No, this is
about a jury find him innocent or not.
Yes, I did.
That was the verdict.
You are absolutely right. We have to live with that verdict so that he can go and live in his...
OJ.
Well, oh, yes, it is. Mary, this is about OJ being able to live in his white world.
Why would a court system help cover up and keep from Mr. Simpson the telephone records which would prove his total innocence?
Friends, what this case really is that OJ would like to return to what he perceives to be a white world, go back and
live.
Well,
we know racism won't allow that.
Excuse me. You know, I'd like to know why O.J. only will date white women and not black women. Does that trouble you at all, Mary?
No, it does not.
I mean, is this,
freedom of choice.
Well, I agree with you, but then
what problem do you have with that, Susan?
That has nothing to do with anything.
I have absolutely no problem with it. The problem
you obviously
I have,
do.
Excuse me, Mary. I have no problem with it. The problem I have...
You bring it up all the time.
I've never brought it up, but Mary,
yes,
let me tell
have.
You...
Yes, you have.
Jimmy's Underground Radio, and I got Dana got the Blue Room back live. Like I was saying, that is just a sample of how people was feeling and how the blood was boiling, and we're still bubbling over. We have not gotten over from OJ. Even this president of America is suffering from OJ, and I feel that we have black people scared to admit that they will be down with somebody because they're black, because they don't want to be perceived in that group of people that cheer for OJ. Not putting you in that crowd, but like I said, we got Condi coming up. Will black folks vote for Condi? I'm just saying. Or will they turn on Condi because she plays at Augusta? She knows foreign language. She plays piano. She was a national security advisor. She was Secretary of State. Will they turn on Condi? But I don't know. Well, anyway, Dana, what's your take on that little last clip I played?
That's incredible, Jimmy. Oh, my God. I've never heard this stuff before. Why didn't this come out before?
I mean this is all back to the day.
You're bringing the latest and you're bringing breaking news. Oh, my God. But you know why? It's funny because when he was a football hero, wasn't nobody asking that question? Didn't nobody say that about Tiger Woods? Nobody saying that about anybody else that has decided to date outside their race. So now it's more, it wasn't even about the trial. It's like, why did he even date Nicole? It's crazy.
Right. I'm just saying, this is what's going on. And instead of black people accepting their blackness, instead of black people accepting their blackness, they are, like I said, they're taking everybody's black card from them. And a day where everybody's black should have a black card. A day right now, in 2012, I feel everybody black should have a black card. Should we not forget the days of OJ? But anyway, let me.
But see, you know what, Jimmy? It's because we have, as a people, we have always, always, always just wanted to be accepted. You see what I'm saying? We are not. You got some of these teenagers running around here committing crimes and harming people and all this stuff. But for the most part, we're not people who are just violent. We're not a violent people. So throughout, historically, we have proven that we want to be accepted. We want to get along. We do our best to conform. And you know what? And even during the civil rights movement, those people back then, they didn't come out with guns a-blazing and knives and trying to harm folks. They peacefully sat down at counters. They marched down the street, and guess what? They were still shot, had dogs sicked on them, had water hoses turned on them. It's because of the evil we have in this society, and that evil is starting to fester again. I'm telling you. At some point, Americans, we're going to have to learn to get along, or it's we're going to destroy each other.
All right. I'm about to put in blue room right now. Dana, we're about to take a break right now. 347-838-9825. And again, we're about to bring some more breaking clues on who possibly could have killed Nicole Brown Simpson. The reason why Dana have not heard all this information because she's like all Americans fell into the soundbite and they really can't hear stuff over the music.
Yeah, this was crazy, man. It's like my life story right here.
For hours as I play guitar, yo, sing my song up on the radio while she was in her car, yo. Her interest would grow. She came to my show. She knew every note, each line that I wrote. Oh, oh, oh. Suddenly she was in love. In time I met this little girl, was attracted to her ways, yo. What took years for some couples to build for us, it's just a day, yo. So as time went on, I wrote her more songs, not knowing that songs would soon come along. Leaving me in pain, no.
Show must go on.
Show must go on.
Unfortunately,
oh,
I'm all alone,
baby,
up from my dreams.
Because
she couldn't hear me over the music.
Oh, no, no.
Didn't hear me over
never really knew my song. Find love tomorrow, hoping it don't follow the path I've been lost on too many times.
Show my
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Risen, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Risen offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona room or Haitian room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Risen. Visit us online at phoenixrisen.com.
Are you the parent of a troubled teen, or you just want to have a closer relationship with your child? If so, sign up for our free webinar called 5 Easy Tips to Effective Communication with Your Teen right now, hosted by teen expert Relief Henry. Log on to successfulteenparenting.com/webinar.
Walking down the street now is a dangerous thing. There are drug dealers, crack houses, gang members, and crackheads. People fighting, cursing, and killing too. So much chaos, we don't know what to do. But if people only knew that they are hurting little children, if they could only see what our community could be. When in consultation, 1, stay calm. 2, try to say something positive. 3, tell the person what's on your mind. 4, ask if the person understands. 5, thank the person for listening if you can. Come on, y'all. Let's be an example. It has to start somewhere. How about now? For more information on ways to prevent violent crimes, contact Totally Positive Productions at 773-488-9553.
Jim Lee's Underground Radio Network, 347-838-9825. We are going to do something that probably nobody has done, prove that Arthur James Simpson has not killed Nicole or Ronald Goldman. I have someone on the line from Chicago calling in. Like I was saying earlier, I do have people that are of African-American descent that do believe that O.J. did kill those people, and I have one of those people right now tuning in. How you doing, Afina Troy? How you doing, ma'am? And you are one of those people that I was talking about that probably celebrated the victory but knew in her mind that O.J. did do that. Cause I think I called you up and said, what do you think about that now?
Well, bro, I don't, I'm not celebrating death. I don't celebrate death. But is there some new evidence I haven't heard about that points the gruesome murder towards someone else?
Oh, well, yes, there is. And I think, let me go to it right now. Tune in. Only on Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio we get the tough evidence. Here we go.
Hey, Jimmy, can I say something?
Submit it for your consideration.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say something? Can I
sure.
say something? Even if there is no evidence that points that the killing was done by someone else, he was convicted because he was thought to be guilty, not because he was proven to be guilty. So regardless of whether or not they have evidence that points to someone else, they don't have evidence that points to him.
Well, what are you talking about? He was convicted. What was he convicted of? He was acquitted of the first.
He wasn't convicted by the court system. Thank God for his lawyer. But he was convicted by society. The fact that he's in jail right now for going to pick up his stuff that was stolen from him proves that he was convicted by society.
So you're saying that, of course, he's in jail because of the murders, okay? I agree with you on that. But let's not, he did commit a crime. You just can't go into someone's hotel with guns and demand merchandise. That's a crime.
Before we touch on that, we're going to touch on, let me just bring forth a light evidence about the, because today is the anniversary that the forensic evidence tried to link O.J. to the crime. But before we deal with the reason why O.J. went to retrieve some of his personal evidence, not a memorabilia, and, you know, matter of fact, I think it's a safe place for him to be right now in the town of Obama. He might get shot because they might look at him saying, you got away, we got a black president. Jail might be the safe place for O.J., but let me go ahead and play some evidence to my people out there so they can understand why O.J. didn't do it. Bear with me, everybody. This is breaking news.
Submitted for your consideration, an alternative suspect in the O.J. Simpson fiasco. Public opinions reveal that folks are fairly split on the idea whether O.J. Simpson was guilty or not of the brutal murder of his ex-wife Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman shortly after 10 p.m. the night of June 12, 1994. For nearly a year and a half, the media provided never-ending coverage of the judicial circus billed as the trial of the century, yet without a conviction, justice has never truly been served. If Orenthal James Simpson, O.J., was not guilty, as a jury found, then indeed, who is guilty of this horrendous double murder? On October 3, 1995, hours after the jury reached its verdict, Jason Simpson, eldest son of O.J., made a public statement on his father's behalf that O.J. will pursue as my primary goal in life the killer or killers who slaughtered Nicole and Mr. Goldman. They are out there somewhere. Whatever it takes to identify them and bring them in, I will provide somehow. O.J. has never acted upon this pledge. What reason would O.J. have to endure not only the trial, tarnish his name and reputation forever, and yet not pursue the killer as he promised? One compelling motive for such action would be to protect his son Jason, who had the means, motive, and opportunity to commit that frightful crime. Who is Jason Simpson? Born April 21, 1970, during O.J.'s first marriage to Marguerite Simpson, Jason was a child when his dad started dating Nicole Brown in June of 1977, while his mother was pregnant with his brother Aaron Simpson, born in October of that year. Aaron Simpson died in August 1979 in a swimming pool accident at the North Rockingham home. Jason required psychological counseling to deal with that trauma, as well as help in adjusting to O.J.'s divorce from his mother 1 year later. Jason has a well-documented history of drug and alcohol abuse and has spent time in psychiatric wards, once after stabbing himself in the stomach in front of his girlfriend, whom he was threatening to kill. Diagnosed with intermittent explosive disorder by Dr. Burton Kitt, a psychologist, Jason had been on the psychotropic drug Depakote for nearly 5 years at the time of the murder. Some of the long-term effects of Depakote on the central nervous system are emotional upset, depression, psychosis, and aggression. At the time of the murder, Jason was on probation for felonious assault on a previous employer. The motive. working as a chef at the upscale Jackson's restaurant. Jason had long been planning to prepare a special family dinner that evening in honor of his half-sister Sydney's recital. Nicole telephoned Jason as he arrived at work that day to inform him that not only would OJ be excluded from the family dinner, but she would prefer to go to the Mezzaluna restaurant where her good friend Ron Goldman worked. We can only speculate Jason's disappointment regarding this cancellation. Co-workers stated that after her call, he was extremely upset. Jason had lifelong issues with Nicole and OJ's relationship, and it was no secret that Jason had always felt Nicole was the source of most of his father's misery. The means. Jason left work that night taking home his bag of professionally sharpened chef's knives, which he often did. However, I do not believe that he had planned to harm or murder anyone. The location and brutality of the murders makes it fairly clear that it was, as they say, a crime of passion or rage. Jason never returned to that job, and the murder weapon, a knife, has never been found. The opportunity. During the initial investigation, the police were under the assumption that Jason had worked his full shift until 11 p.m. that evening. Later, during the civil trial held a year after the criminal trial, Jason's sworn testimony was that he left work early, about 9:30 p.m. that tragic evening, and he went home and watched TV, not exactly an airtight alibi. It was not unusual for Jason to visit Nicole's home, nor for the two of them to argue. It may well be that Jason went over to her home to confront her about yet another bitter disappointment in his troubled life. Forensic evidence reveals that Ron Goldman was murdered first. Did Jason unexpectedly encounter Ron outside the condo while he was simply returning a pair of eyeglasses? Ron Goldman had a genuine friendship with Nicole, as well as a reputation for speaking his mind about issues. Did he verbally confront Jason? It seems a very likely scenario. There was no doubt a struggle outside that brought Nicole to her front door. What did she see? She clearly had defensive wounds on her hands. Her fatal injuries were far more gruesome than Ron's. By the way, I decided not to include pictures of the murder scene, although I will remind you that Nicole was nearly beheaded. These repeated stabbings and slashings would be consistent with increasing anger and fear on the part of Jason Simpson during the course of the murders. A lifetime of rage may well have come to a boiling point that fateful night. The cover-up. Phone records show that O.J. received a brief call at his home about 10:20 p.m. that evening, a problem in the timeline the prosecution avoided. Perhaps Jason called his father for help, and indeed, O.J. would have come to his rescue. It appears that O.J. drove to Nicole's and quickly returned Jason to his estate to help him clean up and escape the murder scene. This answers several questions that were never clearly explained during O.J.'s trial. How blood got on the passenger side of O.J.'s Bronco, the mysterious bag O.J. took with him in the limousine ride to the airport, perhaps Jason's chef's bag, disposed of and never recovered. Most importantly, it accounts for why the DNA match was not perfect, only 1 in 170 million, within the parameters of a blood relative. Forensic expert Dr. Lee, who had testified for the defense, stated 2 days after the trial ended, quote, "they went for the wrong Simpson," unquote. What O.J. Simpson theory would be complete without mentioning the glove? During O.J.'s trial, it was revealed that Nicole Simpson purchased 2 pairs of those rare gloves from Bloomingdale's, a gift for both O.J. and Jason Simpson. If Jason were trying to escape O.J.'s house without being detected, he may well have dropped the errant glove. Once O.J. decided to cover up for Jason, he set in motion a chain of events that he could not have foreseen. And I believe that the love and protection of a child is a strong motivation to endure almost any suffering. The larger issue here is crucial to the credibility and effectiveness of our justice system. If O.J. is innocent of murder, as the jury found, and I agree, then the guilty party walks free. The ineptitude of the police and the prosecutor to convict the murderer will forever prevent needed closure for Nicole's children, Sydney and Justin. The media feeding frenzy on such high-profile cases does a great disservice to the delicate balance of our justice system.
...347-838-9825, Chimneys Underground Radio Network. We've been listening into a little documentary about trying to prove a little, shed a little light on the killer of Bron Nicole Simpson. What do you think about that, Miss Troy? I got you in live.
Who was this woman? Who was this lady?
Well, she's a professor who's reading a part of the book of that this one detective has written who's been following the case for 18 years. I'll get her name for you in 1 second, but given that who the anonymous person was, what do you think about the information that was given to you, given information that was in the trial and, you know, that can prove a whole lot? What do you think about that?
I mean, it doesn't change my mind. It just sounded, I mean, it wasn't enough. To me, if it was such a smoking gun, then Jason would have gotten arrested.
Well, there's a lot of things because as the police were so sworn on proving it was O.J., they didn't look at no one else. They just knew they had him. Even so, they had to plant evidence on socks and plant gloves. It makes a whole lot of sense that if a lady will buy two pair of gloves, and then, like the man said, if it does not fit, you must acquit. Even Johnny Cochran knew it was not O.J. Even Johnny Cochran knew y'all got the wrong person. I'm going to prove how dumb y'all are. I'm going to throw y'all evidence right back in y'all face and watch all the stuff that y'all overlook. Because he's checking all the hair fibers. But anyway, what do you think about that, Dana? Before I play a little bit more, I got a little bit part two of the author of the book. Go on ahead, Dana.
Well, see, I know that the justice isn't always just. And the thing is that sometimes when these people get in their minds that somebody is guilty or that they've done it or that they're going to pay even, then guess what? That's what happens. You got to pay.
Well,
we're looking at you had to pay and you didn't, and so now we're going to make you pay. Isn't
well, let me
that?
Go on in. Let me bring some more information on O.J.'s innocence. Here we go.
You know what happened 17 years ago, a moment in American legal history that few of us who watch this will ever forget. Here's a flashback for you.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson.
I know exactly where I was when I heard that. The trial of the century and its verdict, one of the most controversial ever, the defendant, former football superstar and actor O.J. Simpson, found not guilty of killing his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ronald Goldman. To this day, skeptics question that verdict, and many suggest that O.J. Simpson got away with murder. My next guest does not believe that is the case, and he's written a book about it called O.J. is Innocent, and I Can Prove It. Private investigator and author William Deere joins me now. Sir, this is a really controversial book that you have spent 17 years putting together, personally investigating this case. So what drove you to dedicate that much time to trying to find out an answer that none of us know?
Well, first of all, it was kind of started off as I would check it out because of what my son had said. I was speaking from the International Council of Investigative Reporters and Editors during the so-called Carjay scene, and I made the statement, it's just something concocted by O.J.'s lawyers to get him off. My son said, Dad, you're assuming he's guilty. And I always taught homicide, saying never assume and always verify. So that was the beginning of my 17-year journey. I flew out, climbed over the back gate 2 weeks after it happened, walked that walkway, sat at her front door. Then looking at it, I was a little bit intuitive, they said, but I also felt there was not a lot of evidence of what was being printed in the paper compared to what I was seeing firsthand. Now I realize, 17 years later, I was wrong when I made that original statement. I stand with the position now that O.J. was at the crime scene, but after the murders, and he's been protecting someone all along. We have what we believe right here is the murder weapon. Experts have examined it. It marking on the top of this hilt is certainly fitting the laceration.
Wait, Mr. Deere, hold that up. You say this is the murder weapon?
We believe that this is, in fact, the murder weapon. It's a Gerber replica of a Gerber Mark I double-bladed knife. If you'll notice at the top, Thomas, the part has been removed, wax has been poured in, but when it was compared to the laceration on the top of Nicole's skull, it fit perfectly. Three top experts, one particular one who designed and wrote the book on knife and gunshot wounds, Dr. Vincent DeMaio, feels in all probability what I'm showing you here today is the murder weapon.
Mr. Deere, why isn't this in the hands of police? Why haven't you turned over what you believe to be material evidence that you say that you've gotten corroborated by people, experts in the field? Why isn't this in the hands of police to reopen an investigation? And where did you get it?
Well, it was put into a storage facility. In that storage facility was also these diaries that belongs to our suspect. In addition, that was a photograph of him wearing the knit cap that was found at the crime scene. We have attempted on more than one occasion, as you'll see in the book. Everything is documented in this book, 522 pages, but everything that we're saying has in fact been documented, and we attempted to meet with him on a number of occasions, and they refused.
You keep saying him. Who is the suspect, and who did you go after in terms of the evidence? Who are you going after?
O.J.'s son, Jason Lamar Simpson, who was 24 at the time, 5'11", 235, and Thomas, he was on probation at the time for assaulting his previous employee with a knife, had checked into Cedars-Sinai Hospital just weeks prior to the murder, saying he was out of his Depakote to control his rage, never, ever interviewed by the Los Angeles Police Department.
Mr. Deere, he was never named a suspect from the beginning. We have reached out to Jason for a comment. His phone is not activated right now. What makes you so sure that you're not going to be facing some major lawsuits for defamation out of all of this?
Because of the fact that everything I have is documented. We have his diaries. We have what we believe to be the murder weapon. We have the evidence in the hair. We have him wearing that knit cap. And the fact that the socks that were at the foot of O.J.'s bed.
Explain to everybody, Mr. Deere, how did you get all of this material, and are you willing to turn it over to police?
Well, I've been willing for a long period of time. We met with the Attorney General about 3 years ago, his staff, who were elated over what we had uncovered, and for some unknown reason, it certainly, in other words, they asked us, hold all this for several weeks. We're going to get back with you. We're excited. Don't get in touch with LAPD. We'll help you. But then about 5 weeks later, we received a letter that said, case closed, not interested.
Again, explain how you got this stuff, Mr. Deere. How did you get Jason's private property?
It was put into a public storage here in Los Angeles. He failed to make the payments. An individual bought it, contacted us. We purchased it, and as a result, we have that information, including the vehicle our suspect was driving on the night of June 12th.
Private investigator and author William C. Deere. Sir, thanks for joining me this morning. I appreciate it. It's fascinating to think about this. Again, it was 17 years ago. If you want to read more about William's theory, you can check out his book, which is in stores this week.
347-838-9825. Let me bring my panel back in here. Ms. Troy, what do you think about that?
So he helped Jason to clean up at the scene, or I'm not clear on exactly how he's saying O.J. was involved in it if he wasn't the murderer.
What he was saying was this, that let me put it to you in Negroid terms. Let me help the case. There was a recital that O.J. and the last family recital.
No, I understand all that. I'm talking about the blood evidence.
Let me lead up to it. Now, I'm quite sure the information that, you know, he was upset because he, being the sheriff, had this little dinner prepared for his little sister recital. And his stepmother said, yeah, we got it, but I want your daddy there. Matter of fact, I'm going in Goldman's spot. him pissed off. He goes over there and asks her why was going on. He runs to who? Goldman. Enraged, snaps off on Goldman. Bam, old girl comes down. What? He gets at her and in a fit of rage. Like they said, the wounds was those wounds were committed like in a fit of rage. And so after taking that out, he calls his father. Daddy, look what I did there, look what I did. Daddy gets him out of the spot, like what have you. And know what his daddy did? His daddy sat there and took the fall. Here's one interesting thing that I want, if y'all remember watching the trial. Earlier today, I played the chase, the Bronco chase. Now, on the scene of Bronco chase, you see him pulling up to the driveway, and out of nowhere, here comes Jason jumping over a fence, whatever. He goes to the car. AC knocks him out like, bam, get the fuck back, boom, boom. Now, on the audio, you hear a little bit more. You know, they go a little bit more like, Jason, get back, get away. You hear OJ in the back car and scream at him, get him back, get him back, get him back. Now, and OJ was found innocent. Everybody in the courtroom was all like frozen. The only person who broke down, the only person who was crying like what was up, was Jason. At the end of the Trump trial, the only person who spoke and gave a little speech was Jason. OJ did probably what any father would do. He took the fall for his father. And let's flip it on the flip side. After that, Ms. Troy, there's a civil trial. He's found guilty. He's found responsible for Nicole's death.
Right.
So therefore, Jason will never ever be blamed because in a court of Los Angeles, they blame OJ, but they can never charge OJ. So it's difficult for them to bring charges against Jason because the father took care of the sins of the son because he realized maybe he drove his son crazy all that medication. He finally probably snapped.
The little boy got killed.
You know, and he snapped and he realized, oh my God, you know. So there's numerous evidence pointing toward him, and that's why I've always felt that Johnny Cochran knew from the giddy-up. Or y'all cops would even look at nobody else, huh? If you always go back to the theme of Johnny Cochran's argument, he said they looked at no one else. They just tricked with OJ. They checked nobody else. Matter of fact, if you go back to the trial, I think even Johnny Cochran even mentioned they could have you check their son for the DNA evidence. Did you check his son's hair? Could it be a son? When Barry's checking, everybody did all the evidence. They even threw a son name out there a couple of times. But they're so challenging to believe that it was OJ for the rush to judgment point of view. You know, it's always been my belief. Now, I may just share this with you too a couple of times, Troy, way back in the day. I said, Ms. Troy, it's his son. You asked me why. I said, let me tell you why it's his son. Because I'm a son. And let some man be driving around in my daddy's car, wearing my daddy's clothes, hear my stepmother. I'm not going to walk around and laughing at me talking about my daddy. I can't have that man going off like that. Now, add that with any human black man nature, and the fact the man is on crazy medicine, it's the appetite for disaster right there, off top.
Oh,
off top. I mean, that's always been my theory.
Decapitate somebody. Yeah, okay.
think about it, Ms. True, that has always been my theory from day one that, hey, it's his son. It's his son.
I understand and respect your opinion, but I just don't understand why it's impossible to believe that OJ could have committed this murder. He was a batterer, and he was emotionally and physically abusive to Nicole. Nicole had moved on with her life. Hold on, brother.
She had
moved on with her life. So if you are a batterer and someone who has controlled someone since they were the age of 18, you'll get upset and angry if they're feeling this new sense of independence and having sex with whoever they want to. That can be a rage as well. So it's like, I get it. You know, people love OJ and they want to believe, you know, and really I don't understand this undying attachment that black folk had for a man who had left the black community years
before he had gotten arrested for that murder. He had pretty much dismissed us. And remember, when the jurors went to his home during the trial, Cochran had them replace all the white folks all over his house with black pictures because he didn't want that to be to give them the impression that this man was a Tom. Okay, he was not a community-centered brother when he was arrested, but all of a sudden he's being lynched in the media and all this. All of a sudden he's black again, you know. And but that's one thing we do love. We love our people, and we stand by them through thick and thin. But that one had left the community a long time ago, before he got convicted of murder.
I.e. Tiger Woods, i.e. Charles Barkley.
Well, not convicted, but arrested.
I.e. Michael Jordan, i.e. all of them. I got you. I ain't tripping on that.
I ain't naming those people. You're naming them.
Let me by any chance, do you have Netflix?
Yeah, I do.
Well, they got a good piece on this. What we're talking about right now is called June 17th, 1994. It's a piece on the OJ, where everything happened that time. I got a little piece on Black and White for a second. I played it earlier. I'm trying to see if I can cue it in right.
If indeed she called and was murdered sometime
in the PM,
Mr. Simpson points out in his lawsuit that that is an ironclad alibi. Why? Because he was on the airplane heading for Chicago. It's only 4 hours of the Browns' phone records, and why is everybody behaving like they have something to hide?
Right.
Everybody that believes in O.J.'s guilt is afraid to see the phone records.
So
and what I don't understand is why everybody is afraid to show the official copy of the telephone records. I mean, the Browns could have given these records some time ago.
This family has been through enough in having their son-in-law murder their daughter. They can keep those phone records as long as they want.
You know, we're not doing this just for the sake of it. We're concerned about justice in this country.
Say I'm not going to be a dancing monkey. No, you don't get it, Mary. No, this is
about a jury find him innocent or not.
Yes, I did.
That was the verdict.
You are absolutely right. We have to live with that verdict so that he can go and live in his...
OJ.
Well, oh, yes, it
is.
Mary, this is about OJ being able to live in his white world.
Why would a court system help cover up and keep from Mr. Simpson the telephone records which would prove his total innocence?
Friends, what this case really is that OJ would like to return to what he perceives to be a white world. Go back and
live.
Well,
we know racism won't allow that.
Excuse me. You know, I'd like to know why OJ only will date white women and not black women. Does that trouble you at all, Mary?
No, it does not.
Oh, okay. Well,
freedom of choice.
Well, I agree with you, but then
what problem do you have with that, Susan? That has nothing to do with anything.
I have absolutely no problem with it. The problem
you obviously do.
Excuse me, Mary. I have no problem with it. The problem I have...
You bring it up all the time.
I've never brought it up, but Mary,
yes,
let me tell you.
Yes, you have.
Okay, now.
Yeah, you had some angry white folk after that verdict.
They should have had you on there, that black woman. They should have you on there hitting that black woman. I agree. Now, what they were arguing over was the phone record. Proving that OJ was not there at that time, but I don't want to bring that part in. I just want to give in to the part you were talking about him and the white people and the white women and how that's a problem. Anyway, that's 94. Here is in 2012, and our president had a white mama. But the point I'm trying to say is this.
No. You see, you missed through my point.
I'm not
I was talking about 1994 when I made that statement. I wasn't talking about present day.
No, I mean, I'm just saying. The same thing the same feelings that was there are there now, are here now. The point I was just trying to gather at was saying this, that. I always believe that his son has done it. I've always believed that he covered up for his son. No, he didn't cover up a crime. He just took his son's place.
If you believe what this detective
said, what he did was this.
He helped him clean up. and he took blah, blah, blah.
It didn't clean nothing up. It didn't clean nothing up. It was still there. The mess was still there. All he did was this. All he did was got his son. All he did was got his son because he know his son is crazy on that medication.
Hey,
listen, everybody know his son. Listen, man. Listen, I'm short. It's not like the family know that little Jason is off. He off his medication. He's bound to snap. Your son done snapped. You saw what he did. You would have got your boy. Oh, my God. Now, here come the snap. That's where I got to go. He almost killed himself doing a little the high-speed chase I played earlier. And then he realized I can't give it up. Everybody was like, I did it. Oh, whoa, what have you. Boom. He stood in the place of his son because he realized they said, I did it. Oh, they ain't got shit on me. Let's play the game. Let's play the game. Now, they went out their way because they knew that they had nothing on them, so what they do, they plant EDTA blood stains on socks. They start dripping stuff here to try even to get some OJ blood, because they had no blood, there's no blood hairs on the scene. But when they matched all the blood from the crime scene, it was 1 point songs or songs on the men that it could not be him, but it's stronger that it could be a relative of him. They even proved that in the court case that it could have been a relative, but people looked at it so far-fetched that they said, no, it is him because of the views that you displayed earlier about him being a batterer, an aggressor, an abuser. People, personal views came out over the evidence. Just like all the white people jumped on him for being a black man, didn't the white women, a lot of women looked at him for being a man beating up on a woman, and that blinded them over on the overall facts of the case. But let me play a little more snippet for y'all about how live OJ was, how that whole little case affected stock markets all across America and all across the world. This is October 5th. 1995, when you saw Innocent, when I called you up, Troy, like, hi, what do you think about this?
While it may have seemed as if just about everyone and everything stopped until the verdict in the O.J. Simpson case was announced, that was not the case at daily newspapers such as the San Francisco Examiner. The verdict was announced moments before a crucial deadline, and that sent the staff into overdrive. Business editor Brian Van Miller reports.
Here at the San Francisco Examiner, writers who followed the Simpson story for more than a year were visibly nervous this morning. Guilty or not guilty? That was the question. The news team had less than an hour to churn out the answer in their first edition, due by 11 a.m.
We have two separate pictures. We sort of have a picture of, you know, him looking a little bit guilty and then, you know, looking a little bit happy here with the not guilty.
Kelly Frankeny was in charge of headline and front page graphics. She actually prepared five headlines in the computer.
We made, let's see, guilty, not guilty, innocent, acquitted, hung jury.
They finally settled on guilty or not guilty. It was 10:04. Frozen faces watched the screen. Only the verdict remained. For a moment, these seasoned reporters let their feelings show. But within seconds, it was back to business. The headline reading guilty quickly shoved aside. Not guilty makes the first edition.
We're one of the few papers, it's an afternoon paper in the country that's going to have this verdict today. So there was a particular burden on us. I think we met it pretty well. People are scrambling, as you can see.
From computer to printing press, deadline to headline, right on time. The front page screaming out the news. The rest of the American workforce came to a standstill at 10:06. In New York, the usual roar of the market floor was reduced to a whisper in the minutes surrounding the verdict. Trading volume dropped by half on the NASDAQ stock exchange. Commodities markets stopped dead for almost 10 minutes.
Often with breaking business stories, we take you here to the Pacific Stock Exchange, and we go inside to show you the action up close. Well, today we were denied access. The reason, they say, inside it's business as usual. Or maybe they just didn't want you to know they were watching the OJ coverage instead of watching your stocks.
At 10:06, people were watching, not working, walking, or talking. In fact, AT&T reported a 58% drop in long-distance calls.
I got phone.
Businesses may have lost money because of idle workers. Newspapers such as The Examiner expect revenue. Television stations write for commercials airing close to the verdict, charging 10 times their noise. As many complained throughout the trial, this case had a lot to do with money. In San Francisco, Brian Van Miller for the 10 o'clock news.
Still ahead tonight, what were people watching on television as far away as London today?
Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. AT&T reported a 50% drop in calls.
It was like 58, right? It was like 58%.
Drop in calls today. That's how important this black man who, quote unquote, freedom was that the whole world had to stop. And it was interesting that it ended the show, if everybody had followed the show like I did constantly from the moment he pulled in the driveway to the moment he pulled in the driveway, from white Bronco to white Bronco, from cheering him going out to him cheering him going in. The fact of the matter, and I'm saying the cheer part of the matter is because it's odd, like I said, if you guys in some time, Mr. George, it's a 54-minute documentary. It's called June 17th, 1994. It's on Netflix, along with O.J., Monster, and Myth. And just check those things out. Because I was watching those things because today a little boy from Ohio got sentenced 3 years to jail for arguing with his girlfriend. And they trumped him kidnapping charges on him because he got to argument.
He beat her up. What are you talking about?
Okay,
he had it on tape.
Listen, I have the tape, but all I know is she came to trial saying, hey. Yeah, he's 6'7". He came to trial saying, hey. Like, I saw the man drop. I got to do it. I don't know if the jump went down like that. I'm not saying whatever. But I looked at how athletes now, you cannot, like Chad Ochocinco headbutting, you cannot do anything now and you cannot be considered OJ-wise because OJ got away. You cannot get away with anything. Now, I don't know why that gentleman thought he's going to get off with probation, time served with all the coaches, everybody, even the victim, everybody came and spoke on his behalf. But he don't realize because of O.J., ain't nothing happening. But back to the matter like I was trying to come at, was trying to
you
say.
You know what, but that also points to the disparities in the American judicial system. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
There are some huge disparities in this judicial system. Let's just take Mr. Sandusky, for example.
Mm.
This man has been molesting kids for 50 years, 50 years, and he is still collecting his pension.
Mm.
In fact, Paterno took almost a bigger hit than him, right? Penn State took a bigger hit than him. He
right.
was allowed to continue to molest for 50 years, longer than I've been on this earth, longer than me. And
right.
more than half of one of my kids been on this earth. And this kid, going at it with his girlfriend, he got sentenced to 3 years for argument. You know what I'm saying? It just
right.
tells you the disparities in the American judicial system.
Well, again, I'm going at that. I'm playing my OJ because I was trying to take the conversation many ways. One, well, you know that some people voted for O.J. to cleanse themselves. I mean, voted for Obama to cleanse themselves because they felt during the O.J. trial, whether they want to admit it or not.
Come on now. Come on.
I also say this, that now that Barack Obama is president, black people will be afraid to say that I'm going to vote for somebody because they're black. Because they want to prove to everybody that they really wasn't down with O.J. in the end. Because I really want to see where the world's going to turn when Condi or Michael or Colin or Herman, when they make their comeback, will black America shun them and treat them like they did O.J. or will they open their arms up to them like they did Barack. But the point I'm saying is, everyone said Barack Obama is a polarizing person, but polarization started here in 94, June 17th, when O.J. took that long Bronco chase. America has not been the same since 1994, June
17th. I disagree. America, in terms of disparity of black men in the judicial system, it has existed since the judicial system, even before the judicial system came into play. can't even agree with that.
Just like you see Barack Obama as president, all black boys say I can be president. When Johnny Cochran got OJ off, black boys said I can be Johnny Cochran. And then when Crook thought Johnny Cochran got off, people said, hold on. Let me go to jail. I'm not taking a buyout. I'm doing an OJ. I'm going to let's go to court. Put it on TV. I'm not buying out. More people is not more afraid, even though there are more black men incarcerated. Just, it's so funny that this one shining light, this one glimmer of hope, has given a whole lot of black people realize, hold on, there is a chance. Now, O.J. might have been one in a million, just like hitting that lottery ticket, just like hitting that $55 million, whatever the $100 million ticket everybody buy when it comes up. Everybody knows they don't have a chance, but they put their dollar out there because they know that there's one chance of them making it. O.J. has made it for black people going to court. I'm spending money on lawyers. I can beat this. I'm not taking no buyout. I'm not afraid no more. You see,
you know
the whole deal about the victim they got upset was because black folks were no longer scared of the justice system no more, nor were we scared of the cops no more because we know that they're dirty. The justice system got proven to be dirty, and African Americans was like, whatever, you know, I'm not afraid of you. Justice is blind. O.J. proved it, even though a lot of blacks are being hit on the backside of it because of O.J. It's still with a glimmer of hope that I, too, can make it out, just like I, too, can be, like a black boy said, I too, can be a president, just like in 2016, all black girls themselves can say, I, too, can be president because Condi made it. I mean, it's all about imagery here.
Well, I do think that the O.J. Simpson case did give African-Americans a glimmer of hope. But I think that I feel that that glimmer of hope was because, at least for me, I felt that he didn't do it. And because I felt that he didn't do it, I felt that justice was, you know, just for that one instance. So it did create a little bit of newfound hope in me that maybe if we go in front of the jury, maybe when the evidence is presented, that the truth will come out. You know, I don't hold that faith as much as I did during that one moment now, but I do feel that because O.J. Simpson was found not guilty, as a race, we have had to pay. So, yes, the judicial system has been unfair towards us, but I think that lack of fairness has increased after that case.
Well, I would hold that thought, and let me go black power for one second. This is Drill for the people from Atlanta, everybody. Let me know what y'all feel about this.
Drill. A little something for the people. Drill. I think y'all should.
And talk about the victim last night that got popped, and who the best on the block with the crack rock. Play a lot of pocket banging till the track stop. It's in our nature to run into this jackpot. Hoping not to scrape the blow for that rah-rah, but you envision that trip that's living my time. The anticipation turns to aggravation. So when words of wisdom spoke, you hear blah blah. Cause if that wise guy turns to a wise guy, I pray to God that that guy ain't on a high rise. And if he is, I hope the earth he got nine lives. See, this is the type of life I seen with my eyes. Ghost boys whipping in the ghost fire, on the 9 to 5, but no bow ties. Cause when Jay's on the street, you're solo, no lie. All black attire, shooting with a bow tie.
Time comes when silence is betrayal. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war.
And watch a nigga kill another nigga. So one dead, one in jail, so soon there'll be no niggas. They scamming for the dough, nigga. I can't trust them, I don't know them. Them yo niggas,
I need the source. They either leave or buy, cause these niggas don't care if I breathe or die. So put your pride aside and let your wings fly. Don't be a middleman, be the man who supplies. The definition of a boss, let it multiply. And if they oppose that, they all can die. Cause if they move fast, that's when them cautions fly. So I'd rather be alive than a homicide. Feel my spirit, see my girl and my mama cry. And all my niggas pouring liquor for the honor. I vow to be the realest without ever saying it. So serious, I ain't kidding, nigga, who you playing with?
Where are ranked on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Fucking the same chick your man had last week. Now he's emotional, so now you got beef. Instead of him checking out who the hoe be, next thing you know, he let go free. To the chest. Now we gotta lay another brother down to rest. That wall getting full, cause y'all full of the bull. No more love or lust, cause all they do now is cool. 15 years old, not even in school. But he know mathematics better than you. A community that knows everything about you. But when it goes down, they don't know what to do. What type of sense is that? No clue. So instead of waiting for them, you make the first move. Instead of talk about the victim last night that got popped, or who the best on the block with the trap box.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, still question the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Jimmy's Underground Radio, 347-838-9825. Thank you for those checking in on the chat room. But no, Miss Troy, I got everybody back in the window. But like Daniel was saying, we have been taking a beating for it. But, you know, I know you're just checking in now. And this I'm going to do before I sign out and bring y'all back in. Let me play a little words from the great black man of the 21st, the 20th century, Mr. Johnny Cochran.
You are empowered to do justice. You are empowered to ensure that this great system of ours works. Listen for a moment, will you, please? One of my favorite people in history is the great Frederick Douglass. He said shortly after the slaves were freed, quote, "In a composite nation like ours, as before the law, there should be no rich, no poor, no high, no low, no white, no black, but common country, common citizenship, equal rights, and a common destiny." This marvelous statement was made more than 100 years ago. It's an ideal worth striving for, and one that we still strive for. We haven't reached this goal yet, but certainly in this great country of ours, we're trying. From the very first orders issued by the LAPD so-called brass, they were more concerned with their own images, the publicity that might be generated from this case, than they were in doing professional police work. That's why this case has become such a hallmark. And that's why Mr. Simpson is the one on trial. But your verdict in this case will go far beyond the walls of Department 103, because your verdict talks about justice in America, and it talks about the police and whether they're above the law, and it looks at the police perhaps as though they haven't been looked at very recently. Remember, I told you, this is not for the naive, the faint of heart, or the timid. So it seems to us that the evidence shows that professional police work took a back seat right at the beginning. Untrained officers, trampled. Remember, I used the words in opening statement. They traipsed through the witness, through the evidence. And it was interesting because the prosecution didn't agree with that at the beginning, but later on in this trial, we heard Mr. Goldberg and talking to witnesses use my words, traipsing through the witnessing. That scene there at Bundy. He used our words because they understood. We knew what we were talking about. We were able to demonstrate it through the videos. They delayed unconscionably routine procedures and notified the coroners. They didn't call the criminals out on time. And yes, they allowed this investigation to be infected by a dishonest and corrupt detective. They did that in this case, and they may try to back away from it all they want, but that's very important, as you're going to see, to this case and the resolution of my client's innocence. Because of their bumbling, they ignored obvious clues. They didn't pick up paper at the scene with prints on it. Because of their vanity, they very soon pretended to solve this crime, and we think implicated an innocent man. And they never, ever looked for anyone else. We think they'd done their job, as we have done, Mr. Simpson would have been eliminated early on. And so this case is not, let me say at the outset, is not about attacking the Los Angeles Police Department. We're not anti-police in making these statements. You're not anti-police. We all need the police. I just said we have so much crime in this country, we need the police. But what we need, and what we must demand, what all of us should have, are honest, effective, non-biased police officers. Who could demand less? Can any of you say that's not what we should have? Like the defining moment in this trial, the day Mr. Darden asked Mr. Simpson to try on those gloves and the gloves didn't fit. Remember these words: if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. And we're going to be talking about that throughout. So to summarize, if you take the witnesses who we presented, who stand unimpeached, and if you are left with dogs starting to bark at 10:35 or 10:40, let's say, and we know from the most qualified individuals, Henry Lee and Michael Batten, this was a struggle that took from 5 to 15 minutes. It's already 10:55. And remember, the thumps were 10:40 or 10:45. O.J. Simpson could not be guilty. He is then entitled to an acquittal. And we have talked to you, and you've heard from the court, and my colleagues talked to you about this whole idea of circumstantial evidence. I want to talk a little more about that now. We've shown you the incredible evidence that it would be impossible. O.J. could not, would not, did not commit these crimes. And where you have a circumstantial evidence case, this becomes very, very important. The prosecution then must disprove our timeline beyond a reasonable doubt. And if they don't, you must acquit.
Yeah, I wanted to leave everybody with some words of the late, great Johnny Cochran. Feels good to hear his voice. I'm Miss Troy. Hello? She was still there. You there, Dana? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Hello?
I got you. Yeah, yeah. So I started to end the show with some little Johnny Cochran there. I don't know if I still got Miss Troy. You still have Miss Troy? Athena.
You know what I wanted to say, Jimmy?
Go on ahead. I think I lost. So go on
ahead. When I look at my children, and my children don't care about color. They have friends of all nationalities, all races. And you know what? They just enjoy being around one another. and I look at these kids, and they're the same. The other kids are the same way. It has nothing to do with black and white. Why is it that as adults we can't figure that out?
Oh my God.
That's what I wonder. What is it about this country that says that there's such so much hatred towards just one group of people? The United States is a melting pot. The United States is a melting pot. We have all nationalities here. Why is it that we can't figure it out once it comes to us? That's my question.
Okay, if that's your question, why don't you wrap it up in 30 seconds so I can give you the answer so I can sign out of here.
I just feel that we've had so many problems, but we got to get it together. You know, we got to learn to get along. I'm telling you, some way, somehow, we're all American. We all have the same goal, as I say all the time. We got to figure out a way to just care about one another as human beings, as people, as American citizens.
All right,
Dana. It's not about the colors, just because we deserve it, Jimmy.
I feel you, Dana. Okay, I see you tomorrow. This is Jimmy's Underground Radio. I blew room you, Dana, so nobody hurt you. Hold on, let me bring you back in. There you go, you back in. Yeah, so we got New Music Thursday, so Dana, just tune in tomorrow, all right?
All right, good night.
This is Jimmy's Underground Radio. I'm putting you in Blue Room 2, Miss Troy, just in case you come back. This is Jimmy's Underground Radio Network, 347-838-9825. Tomorrow's New Music Thursday. We got a new Top 10. Playing some new music. We got some new Jay out there tomorrow. In my 90 seconds that I got, I'd like to mention some famous quotes that everyone knows. Give me liberty or give me death. Do not shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. If it don't fit, you must acquit. And good night, and God be with you.
Forever excusing your intentions, and I give in to my pretending, which forgive you each time without me knowing. They melt my heart to stone, and I hear your words.
Yeah, you make me do what I don't.
I'd like to thank Mr. Phoenix Troy and Dana's Dana tuning in.
I can't get the motion right. Trying to ride the wave. Here that life would come so ocean like. Gotta show tomorrow, throw the flag. It's happening tonight. Being soon too. I can't go back to an open fight. I would like, I would love. Open ear, a steady shoulder. Chasing you up through the day. My lonely nights are never sober. Looking for that bubble. Pulling, never find it in the cola. Abusing prescriptions. Hoping happiness coming closer. I'm hopeful, but I'm noticed. The journey far from over. No pain, no gain. Hoping the pain will bring me closer. Dream about success. The thought is just so heavenly. Tonight I'll say a prayer.